Well, the book of Luke this evening, the book of Luke chapter number 10. The book of Luke chapter number 10. I appreciate so much the privilege to come to this place and stand behind this pulpit and give the word of God. I enjoyed myself on yesterday teaching folks, and we do count that a privilege. And I'm always challenging myself, and I love to challenge others as well. Don't you love the word of God?
Yeah.
I hope you do. I hope you have a love for the Bible tonight. And I want to be a help to you and an encouragement to you this evening as we look into God's Word. It's up to you if you want to turn to all the places I'm going to turn to. If not, you can trust me, okay? Or you can look them up later. Oftentimes, when you come to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are written from different perspectives, and it's really the only books in the Bible that you're covering the same material from a different angle. Sometimes a new Christian will come to faith in Christ, and they start growing in the Lord, and they start reading through the Bible, and they're excited, and they come to Matthew, and they start reading through, and he talks about Jesus' earthly ministry, walks upon the earth, and then he dies, and the crucifixion, the resurrection, all that, and then they get to Mark, and they kind of go, man, this sounds familiar, you know? They start through Mark, and they see it again. Then they get to Luke, and they see it again. And then they get to John, and they see it again, and they're wondering, what's going on here? Why are we seeing this over and over and over? But there is a perspective that is different from each one of these men that God used to pen the words through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, oftentimes there'll be a story or something that an account of what Jesus did. And by the way, not everything that Jesus did is recorded. The Bible says in the book of John that if everything was recorded, the world itself couldn't contain the books that should be written of all the things that he did. We know that. But sometimes you'll just have one of the Gospels will have a presentation or a picture of something Jesus did. You won't find it in the other three. Sometimes two of the four. Sometimes three of the four. Rarely is it all four, but sometimes. The account we're going to talk about tonight is in all four Gospels. It deals with all four Gospels. And understand something. Whenever you come to the Word of God and you look into a book of the Bible, try to understand the premise of the writer of that book. Now, we know God's God's Word, but God still allowed men under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pen the words. Okay? There's a reason He used their character. By the way, we talked about this yesterday. There's a ministry of the Holy Spirit, and there's a ministry of the Word, and there's a ministry of the person as well. And God allows that and plugs that in. The book of Matthew deals with Jesus being the king. He's the king of the Jews. That's how he is presented. Mark is not that way at all. In the book of Mark, he is a servant. That's how Jesus is presented, through the idea or through the lens or the focus of him being obedient to the will of the Father. When we come to the book of Luke, we see that he is the Son of Man. He was 100% man. When we come to the Gospel of John, we see his deity. He was the Son of God. You say, wait a minute. Was he 100% man or 100% God? Both.
Yep.
Well, how can he do that? He'd have to be God. Correct. You got it. All right? He can do that. All right? And so that's the filter, the lens with which we look through this. I want to start in the Gospel of Luke, and we'll read some other places in the other Gospels as well. But a very familiar passage of Scripture, if you've been saved any length of time. We know that Jesus, once he started walking upon this earth, after he left father and mother and started into his earthly ministry, we have some early days and that he grew in favor with God and man. And of course, he was kept himself under the authority of his parents and showed how we should live as well. And he lived a life as a template for us to follow. But when we come to Luke chapter number 10, in verse number 38, this is a place that Jesus loved to visit. Jesus didn't have his own home. He didn't have a place where he could pillow his head, the Bible says. And he had friends that he would stay with. How many of you have friends you enjoy visiting? Okay, sometimes you just connect with people. And sometimes you maybe visit another state and your friends find out you're coming through and they won't let you stay in a hotel. They're like, no, you're staying with me, you know. They treat you like family. By the way, we are family. All right. And now some of you may not like that thought. Be careful. God has a sense of humor. And if there's someone in this church that you don't really get along with great, guess whose mansion you will be next to in heaven. I'm just saying, you don't think God can work that out, right? They'll be going, do you have any salt? No, I'm just kidding, right? But Luke chapter number 10, verse number 38. And we know very well that Jesus got along with these people. There was a brother and two sisters, and often he would visit them, and they had a room for him, and he would stay with them, and you could tell that he was friends with them, and they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. There are special people in the Bible, not that each one is not used of the Lord, but certain people, you know, had a special place in his heart, and we can definitely see that. Of course, their brother's name was Lazarus, and Lazarus had went through things in his life, and the things that Jesus did, and he'd even have wept over him, but the sisters were Martha and Mary. We know about these sisters. And verse number 38 of Luke chapter number 10, the Bible says this, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Our Father, I pray that you'll bless our time together over the next few moments. How grateful I am for this lighthouse in this community, willing to carry out the Great Commission here and around the world. Lord, I'm grateful for a group of believers that sees the need of teacher training and wanting to better themselves and allow you and the Holy Spirit to work on them so they can be the best Christians they can be. We're thankful for a church that stays by the stuff and stands upon the Word of God, especially in the dark hour in which we live. I pray your richest blessings on this church. I pray now as we look into your Word that your Holy Spirit will be allowed to do his work, that we will open ourselves up, and even now that each person in this room will pray and say, "Father, whatever you desire from me, I yield to your Holy Spirit right now. I choose to be obedient to whatever you place in my life." God, will thank you for what you'll do in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to have you turn to some other passages if you're willing to do so. If not, I can read them for you. Of course, we know this story very, very well, that Martha was the one that was cumbered about, working all the time, serving. By the way, Martha is not a bad person, okay? Sometimes we look at Mary as doing the right thing and Martha's doing the wrong thing. I'm very grateful for servants in the church. All right. Martha was busy. Martha was feeding and she was being a help in her way. By the way, each one of us have different gifts. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But there's something about Mary that got it. She understood what was going on. Martha never did get it fully. While she loved the Lord, we know she did. And while she was willing to serve the Lord, we know she did. But Mary understood. And Mary, whenever Jesus came around and began to teach her talk, Mary made a beeline for his feet. And that's where she stayed. To glean as much as she could. You see, I truly believe after studying this for myself that Mary understood the future more than those around her. I think she had insight, spiritual insight, even more so than the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They should, but they didn't many times. But she did. She understood what was coming. We'll see that in just a bit. You know, the other Gospels record how Mary played a part in the Gospel story. Now, each one had played a different part, okay? I love the characters in the whole story of the Bible as you move through, okay? And while many witnessed the sacrifice made to the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and many even witnessed the resurrected body after he came forth from the tomb, and still others anointed his body after his death, there was only one that anointed his body before he died. Only one. And it was Mary. It was Mary. She's the one that knew something was going to happen. She understood what was going to take place. I want you to look at some different things. If you take the time to turn to Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter 14, if you don't want to, I can read it for you. But I'm going to actually be reading several passages. I won't ask you to turn to all of them. But in Mark chapter 14, and this is also found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, and also found in the Gospel of John chapter number 12. You don't have to turn to all of them, But Mark chapter number 14, I'm going to read this account, and then I'll jump into the book of Matthew and give you the parallels to that in John as well. I like the reason I'm looking at all of these Gospels and kind of comparing them is because each one gives us another piece of the puzzle. A little piece. You know, you're thinking, well, we don't know that it was Mary. If you read this Gospel, it just says a woman. And this Gospel says a woman, then this one says Mary. It tells you who it was, okay? So sometimes you have to look at all of them. In Mark chapter 14, verse 3, the Bible says, "And being in Bethany," now we read this before in Luke, in Bethany, okay? "In a different house, though, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman, having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Verse number 6 says, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. Listen carefully to verse 8. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verse 9 says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Now, if we took the time to read the Gospel of Matthew, it is almost identical in its words. Okay, there are a few differences. In fact, I put them side by side and actually highlighted the different places. It also says there was a woman that had an alabaster box of precious ointment. So precious and precious. The Gospel of Mark says it was poured on his head. The Gospel of Matthew says it was poured on his head. In Mark it says there were some that had indignation. In the Gospel of Matthew it says, but when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. So it tells us who's upset here. Yeah. By the way, it wasn't the lost people. It wasn't the people that didn't follow Jesus. It was the disciples, the ones that were closest to Christ. They're the ones that rebuked her and said, hey, what are you doing? You're wasting this. You're wasting this. By the way, sometimes we get fired upon by members of the church, our own brothers and sisters in Christ, more than out there. Yep. What a shame. What a shame. And so they say, to what purpose was this waste? Again, the same thing is put into play. She has wrought a good work on me. It says in the Gospel of Mark that she anointed his body to the burying. In Matthew it says, she did it for my burial. So very, very similar. But when we come to the Gospel of John, and by the way, this is in Luke 10 as well, in the Gospel of John, a little bit different. It says, as he sat at supper, okay, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. So it says who it is. It says it is Mary, okay? The one says precious, the other one says very precious, the one that says very costly. We understand. The Bible says she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Now wait a minute, preacher, I'm going to get this straight here. The Gospel of John says that Mary anointed his feet, but Matthew and Mark says she poured on his head. Is this a mess up in the Scriptures? No. You can do both, right? Again, you have a perspective of the different disciples and what they saw. You say, preacher, if you follow all of it, you put all of it together, she anointed his whole body, pretty much. That's exactly what she did. And it even says that she wiped his feet with her hair. By the way, if you don't see love there, it's one thing, listen, and by the way, that was a custom of the day to wash people's feet. That was very, very common. When someone came in after a journey and came into your house, just like nowadays, we take their coat or we give them something, a refreshment to drink or something, they would do that. They would often put things on them for scent because they'd been sweating. They would wash their feet because they were dirty. That was a sign or a custom of something that was kind to do. That's just something you did. But to put ointment that's costly like that on someone's feet and wipe it with your hair, if there's dirt on his feet, that ends up where? On her. She didn't even think of that. No, she was doing something here. She was doing an act that was different. I want to look at some things regarding this evening. I'm going to give you three simple things, thoughts, if you will, that I believe that could help us. We're dealing with this idea of Mary, as Jesus said in verse 42 of our text, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Our title of our message this evening is in the form of a question. What part do you have in God's work? What part do you have in God's work? Let me ask you something by way of introduction. Do you believe all of us have a part in God's work?
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to get into some different things. Oftentimes, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but oftentimes we have a tendency to believe what our flesh tells us or what we allow Satan to whisper in our ear. Or maybe we say, listen, I'm not a talented individual. I definitely can't do what brother so-and-so can do or sister so-and-so. I can't do any of that. I'm not gifted in any way. God has not given me any gifts. That's incorrect. That's incorrect. The Bible says he's gifted every man. I mentioned this yesterday in our teaching training time. God does not make junk. God does not make junk. He gifts people differently. By the way, he assembles believers into a certain place for a reason, a certain way. Each person in this church building, this body of believers, this called out assembly, by the way, the church is not the building, right. It's the people. He assembled you the way He did for a reason. He gave you different talents and abilities to where you would function together, to where you could come together and all the different parts work together. The fingers, the toes, everything works together. Some people can sing. Praise the Lord. Some people can't. Right? And by the way, we all come together and sing because the Bible says make a joyful noise. All right? Interesting word. All right? We're all to do that, but we're given different gifts, different abilities. By the way, let me pause for a second here. I'm surprised at how many churches I go to, and I'll talk to a person that's been a Christian for 30 years, 40 years, and I'll ask them, we'll get into a conversation, I don't just walk up and ask them this, after we're talking a while, I'll say, listen, what is your gift? What has God given you? And they just look at me. I don't know. And I'm thinking, when are you going to find out? Yep. I'm just asking. If God gives gifts to everyone, what's yours? Amen. You definitely can't be using it if you don't even know what it is. Right? What is your gift? No, most of the time we spend all of our time looking at someone else wishing we had their gifts. Well, guess what? You're not them. Yeah. You know what I've learned a long time ago? There's enough of me in the world. Some of you got that, some of you didn't. You would have to know me. I cannot imagine a room full of me's. Another reason I'm an evangelist. I have a great friend. He pastors in Wisconsin. He says, man, I love when you come and I love when you leave. I know exactly what he means. I know exactly what he means. Now listen, there's enough of me to go around. Sometimes I can't escape myself. I hate saying that. You say, well, you don't like yourself. No, I like myself very much. I've never met a person that didn't like themselves. If you're honest. Usually we can't understand when someone don't like us. You ever ran into someone and you find out, yeah, I heard they don't like you. What? How could someone not like me? I mean, look at me. That's our thoughts, right? How could someone not like this? They're definitely messed up. I mean, look at me. I'm the best person I know, right? That's how we act. Sure. Listen, we have different gifts, different abilities. God has made some people very analytical. Other people, they just got common sense. I mean, they can, you know, some people can build things. It's endless what you can do. God has made each one of us different. Mary, listen, we don't know a ton about Mary. We know that her sister served and fed people, okay? And I'm sure Mary had a servant's heart as well, but Mary sat at Jesus' feet. That's what the Bible says. She was like a sponge gleaning what she could from her master. By the way, times have not changed. That's what we should be doing. Gleaning from our master. Gleaning from the words of God, just like she gleaned from the word of God. Yeah. She is the only one that anointed his body before he went to the cross. I want to give you a couple things that Mary did. And because she did them, the Lord said, she hath chosen that good part. And it's not going to be taken away from her. In fact, he goes on and says after this, listen, when she is spoken of in the future, this will be spoken of as a memorial for her. As a memorial for her. When she is mentioned, she's the only one that did this. She's the only one that had foresight and saw ahead into the future. Number one, Mary did what she could. Mary did what she could. If you look at chapter 14 of the Gospel of Mark, that's exactly what the Bible says in verse number 8. The Bible says, let her alone in verse number 6. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. He said, listen, the poor, you can help them any time. Leave her alone. She hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. Preacher, make the application. What are you saying to me tonight? Here's what I'm saying. Do what you can. Do what you can. Oftentimes, a preacher expects us to do this, or my wife wants me to do this, or nowadays I'm supposed to do that. Listen, do what you can. Be honest. Are you doing what you can in the Lord's work right now? Are you doing what you can? You say, preacher, that's simple. It sure is, but not all of us are doing what we can. We're not. Many of us are holding back from the Lord. And let me ask you something. He is our example. Did He hold back from you? He did not. He did not. He gave all. He gave all. Preacher, you got to understand the day and age in which we live. It's 2024. I mean, with work and job and family. And by the way, those are all good things. But they're not the best thing. The best thing. the best thing. You know what I found? When you put Jesus first, he puts everything else in line. He fits everything else in where it needs to go. But if he's not put first, nothing goes right. And there's never enough time for anything. Never enough time. No, she did what she could. Now listen, what she could do was different than everyone else. Let me ask you something. Could she preach like the disciples? No. Was she one of the chosen 12? No. She wasn't. Was she used to write one of the books of the Bible? No. No. She wasn't. Listen, she couldn't preach like the disciples. She wasn't one of the prophets. But she could still serve and do something, and she did what she could. Do what you can. You know, some people can support financially because they can. By the way, every church, I'm in a lot of churches. I told Pastor this in the last counting this evening. This is my 14th time speaking in the last 7 days. I've been in 4 states in the last 7 days. 4 states. Now, it's not always that way. Praise the Lord. Okay. Sometimes I do wake up and I wonder what state I'm in other than confusion because I don't know. But do what you can. I go to some churches and guess what? There's people that God has blessed financially. And guess what? That's their gift. That's what they use for the Lord because God's blessed them. By the way, they realize God gave me this. So I can do this. And guess what their peace and their joy comes from? Knowing that's their part. They figured it out. They figured out that guess what? I'm not a bowl that takes something in and doesn't get out. No, I'm a conduit. God sends it through me and I push it on. It's all from the Lord. By the way, listen, as the financial blessings flow through that pipe, the pipe also gets wet. Yeah, sure. By the way, there's nothing wrong with riches. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not having money. Sometimes God has blessed people with money. You say, well, how come he didn't bless me? Maybe he can't trust you with it. I am not rich. Why? Hey, I don't know what would happen if someone dropped $5 million in my lap. I hope I would keep doing what I'm doing. But I don't know. You know, maybe I'd buy a ranch in Wyoming or something and minister to mule deer or something, you know. I mean, God knows. I mean, I can get tempted by that stuff. I'd love to live out where the deer and the antelope play. You say, well, there's no people there. I know. My thoughts exactly. Listen, God knows what we need more than what we need.
Right.
Listen, I'm a homebody. You can ask my wife. I love being home. God has a sense of humor. I'm an evangelist. I'm never home. I love being home. Listen, no one wanted to go through COVID, but during the COVID time, listen, you're going to be a locker. You can't leave your house. Ah, that wouldn't bother me a bit. Taking care of the animals, shooting my own food, raising my own garden, that didn't bother me at all. Some people, I'm getting stir crazy. I've been in the house for 6 hours. 6 hours, really? That does nothing to me. Listen, we're all different. That's okay. Some people can support financially in giving. Some people support differently. I've met elderly people that used to serve and they can't. Their body won't let them get around anymore. And I've had people come up to me and say, you know what, preacher? I remember the days I used to do this and I used to do this and I used to do that. And I was in this ministry, that ministry. Preacher, because of my health, I can't do anymore. The only thing I can do anymore, and this is what I do for our church and for my preacher and for my people, I pray 3 or 4 hours a day. That's all I can do. What a shame.
Amen.
Yes, that's sarcasm. What a ministry. Do you think this church is going to go forward without prayer? Do you think he can stand behind this pulpit and do what he needs to do without prayer? Do you think the church is going to prevail against Satan without prayer? No. Name a better ministry you could be involved in. I'll wait. You can't. Prayer is the ministry. In fact, oftentimes we say, well, we should bathe this in prayer before we do it. And I understand what you're saying. But prayer is the ministry. That is the ministry. That is the ministry. There are others that do other things. Some support emotionally. How many do know a gift that you have God's given you? By the way, don't raise your hand unless you do. Okay, each one of us have different gifts. If you don't know what your gifts are, figure it out. Some have the gift of encouragement. You ever met someone that has the gift of encouragement? I mean, they encourage everybody. I mean, they don't have to say anything. They just walk in the door and you're like, boy, I'm glad I came to church. You didn't even talk to them yet.
Yeah.
Just because they're there. Guess what? I don't have that gift. I don't. I don't have the gift of encouragement. I don't. You say, you have a gift? I do. I'll give you one of mine. I'm a motivator. I push people. Whether they want to be pushed or not. I do. I motivate them to do stuff. I push them. God has gifted me. And by the way, that's not me. That's God. He has gifted me in that way. I can make people do things. My wife says all the time, you could sell ice to an Eskimo. You could. And by the way, I could. There's a drive in me. I can push. God put that in me. He put that in me. Realize what your gifts are. I have the gift of exhortation. I have that gift. God gave me that. What a shame to live your whole life knowing Christ as your Savior and not know what your gift is. What a shame. And to stand before Him one day and Him say, I gave you all that. And you, why didn't you use it? I gave it to you so you could use it for me. By the way, it's for His glory, but He lets you share in it. He lets you have a part in that. Figure, listen, if we all did what God gifted us to do, you wouldn't have to worry about church in any way.
That's right.
What about reaching the lost community? They'd be reached.
Yeah.
It would. Financial, everything would all be taken care of. Listen, do what you can. I can start listing some stories here. I've got people in my own church, in my own ministry, things that they've supported our ministry and helped us in different ways. There have been people that have helped us financially. I remember when my wife and I first went to evangelism, we were literally dirt poor. We had nothing. Okay. And I'm just being transparent. I'm showing you what the Lord can do. My first year in evangelism, I made $6,700. Not a month. That year. I remember my wife saying, do you want to eat meat tonight? I said, yes. She said, you better shoot something because we have nothing. Okay. I can remember certain times in our life where I was trying to work. I was trying to travel. And she called and said, hey, the refrigerator is not working again. I've tried jiggling it. I've tried doing different things. It's making noises. And then it kicks back on and it kicks back off. And now today it died. It is no longer doing anything. It gave up the ghost. It's no longer alive. Okay. I remember I came back into town. I went and preached at a chapel service at a Christian school. And I told her when I left that morning, I said, you know what? After the chapel service, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to purchase a refrigerator. And we've been looking at them. I said, you said this is a good model. It's a good one. This is one I'm looking at and I'm going to purchase it today. And she said, how? I said, with a credit card. And she said, no, don't. We're not going to get into credit debt. I said, no, I normally wouldn't do this, but I prayed about it all night. And the Lord told me, go buy one today. I have perfect peace. He told me to go do it. Honey, He told me to do it. So I went after it, and I told them they were going to take the old one, they're going to bring the new one. I think it was like $1,197, something like that. I went and purchased it. I came home, went to the mailbox, opened the mailbox. There was a letter from a Marine that had been overseas in action. My wife knew his mother. She used to babysit them when my wife was young. This was her son. He was a Marine sniper over in Afghanistan, and he had some back funds that were owed, whatever. He heard about our ministry, been praying for us, and sent us a check for $1,200. What Marine single sniper do you know that has an extra $1,200 laying around? Happened that day.
Yeah.
If you want, I could spend the next 3 hours telling these stories of how God just did it. When I left to go on the road this last week, and traveled down to Tennessee and then over to North Carolina. There was a gentleman that came up my driveway. He always waves. Drive up with an older gentleman. He's in his late 70s, maybe early 80s. The gentleman with him is about the same age. They drive up past me, and he had a load of trees delivered to my house, about 40 trees. And then he saws them all up, and he cuts them all up into firewood. I'm not allowed to help him. Ever. On my own property. I've tried many times. Brother, I told you don't come up here. This is my prayer time. Me and him are fellowship with the Lord, and you're interrupting. You know, on my own land, I can't, you know. He said, you're not supposed to be cutting fire. We're just supposed to be preaching the word. That's what you're supposed to do. Let me do this for you. This is what God told me to do. This is my part. My part. By the way, every piece of wood that I put in my wood burner to keep my family warm, he has a part in that. You may look at that and say, you're missing it. You're missing it. I've had people do mechanical work. People pay for appliances. People give financial gifts. I had a fellow one time in our church. He's still there, faithful. He's an usher in the church. Very quiet guy. Doesn't say anything to you unless you say hi to him. Doesn't say a word. Not a word. His name's Mike. Super guy. Mike's been a welder for 40 years. I went to him one time. I said, Mike, I travel and I use the Birds of Prey and I go in front of people. I do wild game suppers. In fact, I'm doing two this coming Saturday in Pennsylvania. And there'll be a lot of lost people there and they'll hear the gospel. I said, Mike, I need some perches that I can make the word the purchase, this way in one piece folds, this way in one piece folds, where I can fold these perches up and take them on the road and unfold them. They're 10 feet wide and the base is the right weight to where if the bird tries to bait, it doesn't move the perch, but it's not so heavy that I can't carry it. And I'm thinking about aluminum. I'm not sure if I can go stainless. I'm talking all these things. And so I kind of penciled out a design and I said, Mike, could you look at this and give me a price on making something like this when you have the time? He's a fabricator. He welds, is what he does. Sure, I'll look at that. So he took it and he ran with the idea. Came back. Man, he made it exactly. I mean, it's awesome. He's a great welder. Made it all up, had it all done. I said, what do I owe you? And he said, no. He said, actually, most of the stuff was scraps that I just salvaged and I saved. And I said, what about your time? How much time did I have? He wouldn't take anything. Wouldn't take a penny. Not a penny. He wouldn't take anything. He said, listen, I just want to have a part in the ministry. Let me say something to you. I'm up in front of 1,000 people preaching the gospel, and there's lost people hearing that never heard about Jesus before, and there's birds of prey on display. No one knows who Mike Haynes is. He's in another state, but he has a part in the salvation of those people.
That's right.
You know why? His fingerprints are on that. He has a part. He has a part. What part do you have in this work? What part do you have in this work? What a shame to be involved in the local church and not have any part. You just attend. I'm seeing more and more as I travel to churches in the last 5 years. This is what I'm seeing. People that come to a church and they attend, but they will not join. Over and over and over I see it. I was in a church not that long ago. I said, you don't have a lot of membership? He said, no. He said, 90% of the people that attend my church are not members. I said, are they new visitors? He goes, oh, no, they didn't come for 10 years. I said, they must like the church or they wouldn't still be there. Well, I don't understand. Why? He said, no accountability. Same with our society with marriage today. We live together, but we don't get married because I want a back door. I want a way out. If a business meeting comes up, I'm not a member. You know, I don't know. If there's any strife or problems in the church, I'm not. I'm not required to give, really. I just get the benefits, but I don't put anything in. Just being honest. Do you contribute or do you consume? Just asking. I don't know. You do know what the word worship means. Doesn't mean to get. Means to give. So if you come here on Sunday and you say, well, I'm going to worship, and yet you're not worshiping, you're taking instead of giving, you're not worshiping. Not the biblical definition, you're not. No, Mike has a part. Do what you can. Number two, Mary not only did what she could. Number two, Mary did the best she could. Mary did the best she could. Look at Mark chapter 14, verse number 3. Mark chapter 14, verse number 3. Look what it says, please. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman, this is Mary, having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. By the way, when she broke that box, she couldn't save any of it. She used all of it. She couldn't salvage any. It wasn't like, listen, I've got this much, I'll pour a little bit. By the way, I took the time to study this. When it talks about how much it was, it talks about later that it was a pound of ointment of spikenard, a pound. I took the time to study it out. It worked out. In fact, it even says that the disciples got on her for this. Okay. They said it might be sold for more than 300 pence. If you equate that to today's, finances, it was a year's salary. A year's salary. Whatever you make in a year, she poured that out at one time on him. That's why the disciples said, time out! Are you kidding me? You just wasted? See, Mary didn't see it as a waste. She saw it as an investment. Huge difference. Huge difference. She poured it on him. She did listen. She did it the best she could. It says it was very precious in Matthew and Mark. It says it was very costly in the Gospel of John. Listen, she gives us a template to follow. Do what you can, certainly, but do the best you can. You say, listen, no more, but certainly no less. Too many Christians give God their leftovers. He deserves your best. Your best. More than 300 pence, it says. Over $50,000 at least. All three Gospels records imply that Jesus' disciples thought it to be a waste. And they murmured against her. Our brother prayed earlier about the offering time. Do you give your first fruits? When God impresses your heart, do you give? When he says give, you give. My wife and I have always agreed from the beginning, when God impresses me to do something, she already knows. And I'll just, it's done. I'm not even, I don't even have a second thought. It's done. I learned a long time ago, it's all God's. By the way, I'm not saying that I don't have problems. I'm not saying I'm some holy spiritual person more than someone else. But I learned a long time ago, everything I have goes to God. It's all God's. It's all. You're not going to outgive Him.
Right.
Not going to happen. You say, preacher, when did you first learn that? I was 8 years old. 8 years old. Sitting on the second row, my grandfather was preaching. He was pastor of the church. I never had any money because I was 8 years old. And I remember the offering plate going by, and I always wished I could put something in. You know, when you're a kid, you're, man, I wish I could give. But I don't have anything. I don't have any money. I'll never forget the offering plate going by. And I'd been working. I'd done some chores. And I'd earned my first $5 bill. Now, let me tell you something. When you're 8 years old and it's, you know, some of you guys, this is the olden days. Okay? Not to some of these people, but to me it was. Okay? All right? A $5 bill was a big deal. I can remember even at my age when you couldn't get $5 in a gas can. You couldn't fit it in there. I mean, it wouldn't fit, you know. Nowadays, you know, $5. Okay, that fits in a straw. Yeah. Your vehicle won't get from me to him. I mean, $5 is nothing, right? I have a Ford Expedition. I can start pumping and go eat and come back. It's unbelievable. But I remember I earned $5. And here come the offering plate, and I had the same thought I always had. Boy, I wish I had something I could put in. And God said, you do have something you can put in. I thought, oh, I had $5 in my pocket. I forgot I earned that. And then I thought to myself, what's a tithe of it? Doing the math, you know, 8 years old, I was pretty bright. 50 cents is a tenth, right? And I thought, but I can't tear it. And God said, all or none. All or none. I'll give it all. And I gave it cheerfully. By the way, it was crumpled. I was 8 years old. It was crumpled as it passed. I just kind of tossed it in and there it went. And I felt good and said, you know what? I had a part. I got to give something to the Lord. Totally forgot about it. Put it in there, gone. I'll never forget the service ended. My job as an 8-year-old boy, I helped my dad, my grandfather, and my dad was assistant pastor at the time, and so I would help lock up at night. I'd go around, turn the lights off in all the Sunday school rooms, make sure everything was turned off, and I'd help my dad out. That was, you know, that was me having a part in ministry. I'll never forget this. The service was over. People were gone. All the people were gone. There was 3 or 4 people left talking in the corners, you know, we're closing, they're locking things up, turning the lights out. And I'll never forget one of the guys that stood in the back. He always stood near the door like a security guy, stood near the back door. His name was Brother Tom. And Brother Tom always was at the back, always. I sat up the front, he was at the back. And he went to walk out that night and he said, hey, buddy, how you doing? I said, I'm good, Mr. Tom, how you doing? And he shook my hand. I'll never forget this. I felt something in my hand. He said, boy, don't look at that. Put that in your pocket. God told me to give that to you. So I put it in my pocket. I lived a long way from the church, right across the parking lot. So I went through the door and went across the parking lot. When you stepped off the asphalt, you hit the steps. Went up the steps, went in, I reached in and I pulled it out. It was a $10 bill. And God said, Jason, you will never outgive me. And guess what? I can't. I can't. Everything I have. My brother-in-law will visit sometimes and he'll come up. I live in a log house, by the way. It's just, Brother Ryan and I were talking about it. Sometimes I just look at it, I pinch myself, like, what am I doing here? My brother-in-law will pull in and go, you got money. You got money. And he knows he laughs because I don't have any money. And people look at it, they'll say, how did you get all this? God. God gave me all this. I do my part, he does his. By the way, don't worry about God doing his part. He's good at doing his part. You worry about doing your part. Do your part. Listen, Mary did what she could, but she did the best she could. She didn't hold back. She said, you know what? Once I break this, it's used, but I'll gladly do it. I pour it on his head and I'll use it on his feet and I'll use my own hair and I'll wipe it. It's the best I can do and it's for him. And I gladly do it. So she did. Listen, do what you can. Do the best you can. Third and last, she did it while she could. Not only she did what she could, but the best she could, she did it while she could. While she could. The Bible says in the book of Mark that she did it aforehand. Aforehand. Mark chapter 8, 14 verse 8, to anoint my body to the burying, it says. Matthew says, she poured the ointment on my body. She did it for my burial. It is not until we see the Gospel of John's account that we see actually her insight. I can understand them being there and her having insight. And he's talking a little bit more in riddles. And the disciples are trying to get, what's he talking about? He's going to be crucified. What's he saying? What? They didn't get it. Oftentimes they didn't get it. But Mary's listening, remember, she's at his feet. She's thinking, he's telling us he's going to die. It'd be one thing if she heard that and said, you know what? Here's what I could do. I could go in the back bedroom where I've got that spikenard and I could bring... That's a good idea. That's not what it says. If you take the time to study the Gospel of John, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 12, and verse number 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, listen, hath she kept this? She'd planned it all along. She said, you know what? He's been talking about coming and dying for the sins of the world, even mine. I know what I'm going to do. Right before he goes, I'm going to anoint him. By the way, her timing was excellent. If you take the time to study it, listen, we're talking about doing it while she can. Do you know if she had waited a day later, she wouldn't have had the chance? One day. Too many Christians waiting on serving God, and they never get around to it. Never get around to it. Oh, preacher, I got big plans to serve God. When? Preacher, I know I need to be saved. I'm going to one day. Today's the day of salvation. Today. You know when you should serve God? Today. You know when you need to figure out what talents you have? Today. Today. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. And yesterday's gone. Preacher, you don't understand my past. I went through so much. I've been through so many sin. I've disappointed God so many times. I'm not making little of your past. But it's gone. It's gone. There's not a thing you can do. Satan wants to keep you in your past. Let it go. Not a thing you can do about it. Can't change it. Yesterday's gone. You don't even know if you're getting tomorrow. Today is called a present for a reason. The present. Today. You know when you have to serve God? Right now. Make it count. Make it count. Make it count. Do it while you can. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. The next day he has the Last Supper with his disciples. The women are not present. They go out into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Judas goes and gets the money. And then what happens? The chief priest and everybody shows up and they take Jesus away. Imagine if she had waited. I'd never saw him again. The next time she'd see him, it'd be in a hall somewhere. He's being beaten and they're bringing him through the streets and he's carrying a cross and he's going up to die for the sins of the whole world, even hers, and she wouldn't have the chance. No, I don't want to stand before God one day knowing I had the spikenard to give him and I didn't give it to him. I had the time and I didn't do it. Do it now. Do it now. What have you been keeping from God that you can serve him with? What talent? What ability? There could be something financially you're holding back and God has told you for a long time you need to give that. And you say, no, I'm holding that on for a rainy day. Really? Preacher, that's investment money. Let me tell you about a great investment. Amen. The return is beyond comprehension.
That's right.
Beyond comprehension. Absolutely. Do it while you can. Do it while you can. Don't make the plan always for tomorrow. John chapter 9 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man, listen, when no man can work. I'm about through. Luke chapter number 10, verse 42, our text verse. The Bible says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary is indeed famous to this day for this act. It's her memorial. I want you to look at one other verse and we'll be finished this evening. Would you look at the Gospel of John, chapter 13, please? The Gospel of John, chapter number 13. We read the account of this story we just told in John chapter 12. But if you go to John chapter 13, you will see something. Again, we're talking about after he's already left them. Mary's already anointed his head and his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And when we come to John chapter number 13, John chapter 12 talks about Mary, Martha served, all that. It goes right through that. Verse 3, Mary took the pound of... If you keep going all the way down through chapter 12, the Bible says, the next day, people that were coming to the feast, when they heard that Jesus coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, cried what? Hosanna! Remember? That's the next day. That's where we're at in the Scriptures. If you keep following through chapter number 12, you come to chapter number 13. Verse number 1, the Bible says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. I love that phrase, by the way. He came from God and was going to God. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Somebody tell me, what's Jesus getting ready to do here? Wash their feet. Give them an example of what servanthood is. This is what they're going to do the rest of their lives in ministry, to be a servant. This is right after Mary anoints him, Hosanna the next day. He has the Last Supper with his disciples, and then he gives them this. When they leave from here, they go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and they take Jesus captive. This is the storyline. This is what happens. I read to you earlier our text verse. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I want you to notice something. I was studying this message, and this verse came off the page and hit me like a ton of bricks. Jesus girds himself. Verse number 5 says this in John chapter 13. And after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, Mary had just done this to him. Don't miss this. Now he's doing it to them. Verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Jason, are you choosing the good part or no part? By the way, we think there's an in-between. Can I help you with something? Here's what I've discovered about the Word of God. There's no in-between. You choose the good part, or you have no part. You go to heaven, or you go to hell. You are spiritual, or you are carnal. There is no in-between ground that we try to invent. There is no in-between place. One or the other. If you don't choose the good part, you have no part in His work. None. You see, I don't only believe that salvation is His way. I believe service is His way. I truly do. If I was to get up behind this pulpit and say there's another way to get to heaven other than Jesus, hopefully I'd be removed. Because there's only one way. I think service is the same way. You don't serve God your way. You serve God His way. That's the problem with denominationalism today. People say, well, it's all in the name of God. Well, guess what? Satan could put God on the sign. That don't make it right. Doesn't make it right. What part do you have in God's work? Is it the best part or is it no part? The Bible says that Mary is famous for this, and Jesus said, wherever this is talked about, it will be a memorial unto her. What's your memorial going to be? What's your memorial going to be? Brother so-and-so, boy, he was faithful in the church. God gifted him in this area, and he gave it all to God. He used it all for the Lord. That's his memorial. What's yours? What's yours? Let's bow our heads together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In the quietness of this moment, I hope you're challenged by the Holy Spirit tonight in your heart. Let me ask you this question. What part do you have in God's work? By the way, folks, I don't know what ministries you're involved in. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to work on you right now. What part do you have in God's work? Are you doing what you can? Are you doing the best you can? Are you doing it while you still can? Some of you older folks know time goes by quick, doesn't it? You think, boy, I wish I'd done my best for Jesus. We just sang that. Boy, time went so quick. I wish I'd have given my whole life. You have today. Will you serve Him today? Will you serve Him tomorrow? Will you serve Him the next day? Let's all stand to our feet, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The pianist is going to begin to play. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart tonight and you need to come down and get on your knees and let the Lord have His way in your heart, would you do that right now? Would you let God have His way in your heart? I don't know the need tonight. But if God is knocking on your heart's door about this idea of service, are you doing what you can? Are you doing the best you can? You better do it while you can. The night cometh when no man can work. Do you want to stand before the Lord one day with regrets? I don't. I want to know that, guess what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were spent for me. Thank you for that. If God's working on your heart, you're convicted, will you step out of your place and come? Let the Lord have His way. Don't hinder the Holy Spirit. Don't quench Him. Don't quench Him. Let Him have His way. You know the way to joy and the way to peace? This right here. Doing your best for Christ. Doing your best for Christ. If you're in this room tonight and you're not a Christian, I know it's a Sunday evening. The faithful people are here. I'm thankful that you're here. If you're in this room and you're not a Christian, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I try to always give the opportunity for someone to be saved. If you're in this room and you're not a Christian, if you drop dead today of a heart attack and you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven, please don't leave this room without Christ. Please step out of your place and come down. We'll have someone take the Bible and show you how you can be saved right now. It's the greatest decision you ever make in your entire life. Greatest decision. More important than anything else. Is there anyone at all? Could I at least pray for you? Would you hold your hand up for a second just so I could see it? I won't embarrass you. I won't point at you. I won't come to you. Just want to pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. If I died, I'm not sure I would go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? What about it, Christian? What about it, Christian? Have you chosen that good part? Have you chosen the good part? Do your best for Christ. He left you here for a reason. Not to sit, but to serve. Do your best, Pastor.